We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I think it's a lack of journalistic integrity to print things with anonymous sources. But I know DJ Durkin personally, and I know what kind of man he is. I know what kind of person he is. I talked to him this morning, and I don't think it's right. So, next question.
Well, Coach Muschamp, I don't think it's right that a young man named Jordan McNair lost his life under the watch of DJ Durkin, who you just defended. And as John and I just talked about, to say there's no credibility in an anonymous source is just so patently incorrect. Let's get more on this from Pete Futek from College Football News. He's on the WadeFord.com hotline, joining Rick and John here in Atlanta on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pete, good morning. How you living?
I'm living just fine. How are you guys doing down there?
We're doing good, man. We're doing good. So talk to me about what I just said right there. For Will Muschamp to say, do you agree with me? And then talk to me about this DJ Durkin thing and, why hasn't he already lost his job over this?
Yeah, I am 100% with you. The one thing that's completely lost in all this is the idea of, first of all, a lot of people are trying to conflate what's going on in the political world and the climate that's going on with the media with stuff that's going on with sports world and football type things. And we're talking about two different areas of stuff here, because one area you're talking about a PR campaign for votes and hearts and minds and all that. This other type of stuff is just straight on reporting of just things that are going on for sports. Nobody's voting on coaches or things like that. And when it comes to anonymous sources, the other thing that's completely lost here, whether it's, in this case with DJ Durkin or with Brett McMurphy, if these guys are wrong, there's lawsuits, there's libel suits, there's end of career things happening. You have to know that whether it's the McMurphy story with Ohio State or with what ESPN is doing, especially ESPN, put out with Durkin, that thing has been lawyered up in to every way, shape, and form possible. So, you would ideally like to have someone go on the record. They're not going with any of this if they don't have this thing as rock solid as humanly possible.
Pete, I think back to the 80s and 90s and the way that athletes were trained and the way water was kind of seen as a sign of weakness. In 2018, how is stuff like this still happening at an institution like Maryland, where guys are being pushed to the point of players dying? How is that possible in 2018?
Because the players don't have any say. And the problem is, especially in college sports, they don't have agents. You don't have a players' union. You don't have representatives. What are they going to do? Where are you going to go? And if you have a culture, and you can't even blame this on old school stuff. DJ Durkin, is what, 39? I could be wrong, maybe 40, but he's young. He's not like some old school, guy who, grew up with Bear Bryant in the Junction Boys world. I mean, this is a young, coach, and that's part of the positives about young head coaches is they are more progressive when it comes to just the science of how to treat human bodies when it comes to handling a sport like this. But in this case, all the allegations are that, they were toughening everyone up. Now, there's a side of me that it's always going to side a little bit with the idea of the toughen up, because football is different than other sports in that I get that you have to have some sort of a militaristic attitude when it comes to training, because if you don't train correctly, if you don't do everything correctly, you could get severely seriously hurt or get someone else seriously hurt. So there is a level of seriousness to how you have to train to make sure that everyone's on the same page, that the timing is correctly, that you're tough enough to be able to handle the guy who's about 150 pounds heavier than you, about to crush you. But at the same time, you don't have to do stuff like this that, like you said, leads to kids either getting killed or on the verge of getting a serious injury.
Pete Futek, College Football News. We're hanging out with Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So it's DJ Durkin and a couple of his the members of his training staff have been sent away for a little while here. Do you think that those trainers are sort of scapegoated for the loss of life with Jordan McNair and Durkin gets to keep his job?
No, I don't think Durkin keeps his job on this. Mainly the precedent was set a couple years ago where it was kind of quietly done, where just before the season, Indiana got rid of Kevin Wilson. If you remember how kind of that went down, just because there were things that were going on, and Indiana was like, you know what, we've got a great team coming back, and Wilson's a whale, the head coach, but, you know, we're going to move on from this. And it just sort of happened quickly, and the season started, and everyone just kind of blew it off because it was Indiana. Illinois got rid of Tim Beckman because of a quote-unquote, you know, toxic culture of things like this going on. If it's Urban Meyer and you're 73-8, you survive it. If you're DJ Durkin and you're, 11-15 or whatever it is, I don't think you do.
Pete, you bring up a name we were going to get to next anyway, Urban Meyer. The investigation, I guess, is supposed to be done by the end of this weekend. Do you think Urban Meyer coaches the opener for the Ohio State?
I don't think he coaches the opener, but I do think he keeps his job. This is, if this is March and we're talking about this, I think it's a little bit iffier because it would be a daily story. There wouldn't be a whole lot of other things to talk about. It would just be front and center in the college sports media. We're kicking the ball off in 2 weeks, and I'm not saying this is a positive thing in any way, but you know how sports work. Sports fans just don't, they get mad, and then it's like, okay, I want to watch the games. And they just, in general, don't have the bandwidth to stay angry that long at something sports-related, even if it's something that's bad like this. I mean, I don't know how Tom Izzo still has a job at Michigan State. I don't know how Sean Miller still has a job at Arizona. But, like, fans just kind of are like, all right, yeah, let's go on their coaches. And I think Urban, because he's Urban, maybe serves a suspension. Maybe there's a little bit of a sensitivity training thing done or something happens. And I do think there is going to be a fall guy in this situation, whether it's the athletic director, Gene Smith, or somewhere along the chain, someone's going to get asked. I think there's just enough deniability there, enough, things that Urban probably did correctly, technically, in terms of telling his superiors what went on, that can cut it for him. Whether it's good or not, lying to the media, lying to me. I was sitting right there next to McMurphy. I heard it all. It doesn't matter. That part of it's irrelevant. It's the actual case and situations that he kept this guy on his staff and admitted to it. And so now he says, okay, well, I told my superiors. Well, in a lot of ways, that might get that done for him.
Interesting. Let's continue this conversation on the Urban Meyer controversy with Pete Futek from College Football News. I want you to explain a little bit better, Pete, if you can. You said that you don't think Urban Meyer loses his job, but you don't think he will be the coach week one. Do you see the team suspending him one game to sort of appease the media and appease the witch hunt, for lack of a better word, the people that want him out of a job, for what happened to or didn't happen to allegedly Zach Smith's wife, Courtney? You see what I'm saying? Like, do you think that they just give the naysayers something in terms of a one-game suspension? Is that how you see this going?
Yeah, you got to do something. And I honestly think that part of the reason why this is – I mean, it's actually, the investigation is going quickly. McMurphy did all the investigation for them. I honestly think they're playing a little four-corner stall ball to, one, figure out all their options, figure out if they do want to get rid of Urban, how do they do this and get out of his contract, and also just to kind of gauge the public response. And, I think, everyone is, in general, outside of the goofy 100 people who are chanting and rallying in Columbus, I think everyone's kind of in agreement this is a bad thing. But I think, again, the closer and closer we get to the start of the season, the less and less people are going to start to care about this. And if you think about it from an Ohio State perspective, where's the downside in keeping him? I mean, first of all, he is probably, including Winnie Hayes, the most talented, best head coach they've ever had. He is one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. That shouldn't matter, but it does in terms of the Ohio State fan perspective. If they keep him, sure, you'll have some protests, you'll have women's groups getting angry, and there's going to be other issues involved in terms of just the thought about the program in general. But then they go on and probably win the Big Ten championship, and people sort of forget about this come December, for wrong, not for right in this case.
Pete Futak, College Football News, our guest on the WadeForward.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pete, let's go a little further with Ohio State. Just say Urban Meyer misses a couple of games for suspension. Does that affect their on-field, or is this a playoff team with or without Urban Meyer?
Yeah, I hate putting things like this and into football terms of wins and losses, because obviously it's a news story and it's more important than that. But to cross that and actually put this into wins and loss terms, I don't necessarily think it matters. A lot of times what you get, and you kind of saw this with Penn State's team, is the, we have to rally around this. Everyone's against us, and that kind of thing. And the players don't care. I think, maybe if it's the NFL or something, that's a whole other animal. But in college, they're all playing Fortnite. They have class. They want to go out with girls and go eat pizza and go do college kid stuff. They're like, all right, fine. We're going to go out there and play. I think we always kind of project on the team, distractions and answer questions. 18 to 22-year-old kids, whatever. It's like they don't even really deal with Urban all that much anyway. They deal with their position coaches. So I don't think it matters all that much. TCU on the road, week 3. That's kind of the one that you kind of think, okay, this is really where we should have Urban as our head coach. And so maybe there's a 2-game suspension, but I don't think there would be a 3. If there is a suspension at all, by the way.
The plot continues to thicken with Zach Smith, the former wide receivers coach of Ohio State, who allegedly was guilty of a lot of domestic abuse against against Courtney Smith. We have Pete Futek of College Football News joining Rick and John. So we've got Tom Herman's name has now come in. Talk to me about that wrinkle. Another wrinkle that Zach Smith never told Ohio State and or Urban Meyer about a 2013 drunken driving arrest. So just talk to me about the Zach Smith and the Tom Herman of it all with this Urban controversy.
Well, there's a reporter who claimed that it was Tom Herman who gave Brett McMurphy all the information. McMurphy just came out and just blew that out with a no. It was absolutely, I'm never revealing my sources. But I can tell you it was not Tom Herman. And Herman's like, no, it was not me. So whoever it was not him who was a part of this. But, it just kind of goes as a part of this whole, coaching culture, with each other. There's all those little backbiting things, but just kind of speaks to the nature of how competitive this thing is and how these things work. And in terms of, Zach Smith in general, there's a lot of parts to this where you can kind of say that a head coach like Urban might be like this is my program, I control it, I get to do what I want with it. I think that's almost giving a little bit too much credit here. I mean, Urban's a really smart guy, but at the same time, he's a football coach. And like all football coaches, they're like, okay, I gotta figure out Michigan State this week. I gotta figure out this game. They're just stuff like domestic violence issues, things that, normal human beings would take and think, okay, well, I need to do something about this. They're like, I don't know what to do. All right, I'm going to tell my athletic director, and then they'll deal with it. And I've got to go figure out, why my left guard isn't playing well. They don't really think that far ahead. And I'm guessing here that how this all kind of happened was all this stuff sort of happened, and Urban's like, all right, we got to figure out how to win this next game. Again, I'm not saying that's right or making it as an excuse. I just sort of think that that's maybe how he's thinking about this a little bit as it all happened.
Pete, let's turn it local here for a second and talk some Georgia. Demetrius Robertson gets the waiver. He's going to play this year for the University of Georgia. We heard Kirby Smart earlier today talking about the offense being ahead of the defense in the first scrimmage. What's a realistic expectation for Georgia offensively? Are they a 40-45 point a game type team this year?
I don't see why not. I mean, this is going to be fun because there are certain programs, like for the last few years, Clemson was the example of, they lost to Sean Watson. Okay, this is the year they're going to take a step back. Florida State's going to be better. NC State's going to, and no, they were just fine without Deshaun Watson last year. They lose their entire defensive line. They're in big trouble. And, of course, nope, that didn't happen. They just replaced them with more NFL defensive linemen. They won the national championship a couple years ago. Georgia looks like it's one of those rare programs like Clemson, like Ohio State, like Alabama, where Kirby Smart has recruited so well that it just doesn't matter who you lose, even if it is Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, and the talent that they had from last year. I think they're going to be amazing. I think this offense is going to be incredible. And this is obviously one of the 4 best teams in the country, and it's college football playoff or bust for them.
Pete, great stuff. We'll catch up with you soon.
Absolutely, anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.